Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the Form Book. Plenty to look forward to in this week's episode. We, of course, have the highlights at Kempton. You've got the likes of the Adonis, the Dovecot, and, of course, the Coral Trophy. Plenty more to come. Here's what's coming up on the Form Book. Good action on Rating TV at Kempton. I'd like to say I've been joined by The Score, Andy Stevens, and Tipstar champion Katie Midwinter to look ahead to all the action. Andy, Cheltenham round the corner, but this is still pretty competitive fare. Some of these who might probably be going more to Aintree than Cheltenham, but still good competitive action.
Yeah, it's a fabulous card, Danny. You know, £440,000 on offer here from Coral. It's richly endowed. I'm surprised there aren't a few more entries. People are so focused, aren't they, on Cheltenham that I think... Paul Nicholls will always have plenty of runners here. I think he is aware of scope for picking up plenty of cash on this day. Back in the day, you guys probably won't recall, but there was a Kempton meeting on this day where it threw up 8 or 9 Cheltenham winners. That's not the fashion these days. Everyone, of course, wants to keep their powder dry. But no, it was a significant pointer towards Cheltenham in the past. Less so now, but a good meeting in its own right.
So let's crack into it, shall we, straight away. Let's have a look at some of the action that's coming up. Before I do that, quick look at the website. Make sure you're checking this out. That's the website as it is today. Plenty of tips for today's action. Andy Stevens is giving the video tips as well. He likes the chances of a British raider over at Turley's. You can have a look at all the tips there from all your favourite tipsters, Andy, Dave and more. Check out the news section, Nicky Henderson Stable Tour today, as we're recording on Thursday. So there'll be one of them on the website later on, highlighting all his Cheltenham Festival fancies. Check out the race cards. Good stuff there. All the information you could need for Chelmsford et al. Today and plenty more besides. Remember to watch all the action on the website too. So basically, get stuck into the website. There's plenty for you to enjoy. Steve-O's on fire as well, so make sure you're definitely checking out his selections. His last 10 winners, Nickelback 16-1, Yearman 10-1, Cargeese at 13-2, same price for Innisshore, Emerton and Free Under Through 5 both at 5s, Bashful at 9-2, 4-1 for Harper's Brook, 10-11 Edwardstone, and he put up the shish as well at 8-11. So plenty of selections from Steve-O have been finding the net of recent. Make sure you check out his best bets on Racing TV. Let's have a look at the Adonis then. Caliph de Burleigh, Captain Marvelous, Give Me Five, Peking Opera, Swift Hawk and Tarantino are your sextet. Evens for the jolly. 130, Give Me Five. 6-1, Captain Marvelous, Peking Opera, 7-1, 9-1 for Swift Hawk and Tarantino is at 40-1. I'll come to you first on this occasion, Katie. Just having a look at the action in terms of Caliph de Burleigh. Is he the one to beat in your eyes?
Yeah, I'd say so. He ran really well at Kempton last time out and his only start for Paul Nicholls. So he's run over course and distance, which is a big plus, and he ran easily enough as well. Harry Cobden, he was able to get a breather into him before turning for home too. And although he jumped slightly left at times, he was quite fluent over his hurdles, so I wouldn't worry too much about that. For the race, has worked out very well too. The second, Roaring Legend, he finished second in a listed race since. The third, Yellow Stars, won the maiden hurdle since. And All In You had previously run at Fontainebleau. He'd been purchased for €230,000 in September, so you'd expect he could turn out to be useful enough. And the fifth, Cada de Joy, won the other day at Market Raisin as well, reversing that form with Roaring Legend. So I'd say the form is solid, and like he's got that course and distance form as well in the book, so I think he looks quite an exciting type for Paul Nicholls.
Steve-O, two votes for Caliph de Burleigh. I have to say that performance was, some would describe as sexy. Did it nicely.
I couldn't possibly comment. You've set me up for a right fall, haven't you, now, after all those winners you mentioned. You know, I just apologise to anyone else that thinks this is a, the riches are going to come. The wheels are going to fall off eventually, but let's hope not. I think this horse should win. He has got a £5 penalty here, so that makes life a little bit tougher for him, doesn't it? But I think from that VT, you'll see he's quite a big unit, definitely a chaser down the line. I think a few of these in this race are here and now horses, whereas Caliph de Burleigh is certainly a horse with hopefully a long and bright future ahead of him. What I would say here is there's £45,000 up for offer in the first prize. you're only going to get £22,000, I think, for Chasing Home Sugino and the Triumph Hurdle. So where's all the other horses? You know, I'm surprised that there's not more here. But no, he's a lovely prospect. As Katie said, they did just shift left a little bit of his fences, but he looks like he's got a big stride. I mean, he actually gained, I think, the race IQ data will tell you that he gained about 6 lengths of his jumping that day. And there should be plenty more to come from him. If he does win, it'll be a record 6th win for Paul Nicholls in the race.
Just a quick word, Steve, on Give Me Five. Here he is winning at Warwick. Both his owners are going to be there on Saturday. Brooks Koepka and Graham McDowell, the golfers. And it sounds like from the talk of Harry Durham that he's surprised him so far this season with the manner of the wins.
Yeah, I think he was a 60s horse on the flat, wasn't he, in Ireland. But he's certainly got the job done very efficiently in his two races in Britain, both on heavy ground. But here you can see he's absolutely run away of them. He goes from the front. The Paul Nicholls horse goes from the front. Captain Marvelous of Jane Williams, he went from the front as well last time. So could be something of a burn up in the early stages. It'd be interesting to see tactically who is going to take a pull and drop in. I wouldn't be surprised if Harry Cobden, who's certainly right at the top of his game, just lets the others get on with it in the early stages and maybe makes his ground up in the second half of the race. But no, Give Me Five, he's a nice prospect, isn't he? And I think they're talking about the Fred Winter for him rather than the Trump. So clearly they've got limited ambitions, albeit they've got ambitions, but they're not looking at the very top level of the juvenile division.
OK, that's a look at the top two in the betting. Peking Opera might have a squeak on his form when he won at Sandown, but it looks a bit of a match between those two on the betting. And the selections are with Caliph de Burley in that opener at 150. Next race we're going to have a look at then is the Pendle. The Patron, Pembroke, Blow Your Wad, Soul Icon, Tom Morris and Arc Light. Now, of course, this race has changed complexion slightly with the defection of Nickelback, who was entered at the 5-day stage, which was taken out at Dex. So the new market is 3-1 Fav Tom Morris. The Patron, who's a grade one winner in his own right, is 100-30. 4-1 for Pembroke, Blow Your Wad and Arclight at 9-2 and Soul Icon at 11-1. Katie, I'll come to you again first on this occasion. What do you make of this race? Any particular fancies in the Pendle?
I really like the look of Tom Morris. Now, we know Paul Nicholls has got an excellent record in the race. He's run the past 3 renewals and 13 times overall. And I just have some question marks about the reliability of some of the others. But I think Tom Morris has shown masses of improvement since his chasing debut at Chepstow. He jumped really poorly there and he never got into the race or ever into any sort of rhythm. But he was much better at Aintree and he battled really well this day to just be beaten by Gravilli. But that drift, I think, in the closing stage has really cost him, and he made quite a bad mistake later on too. But I think his jumping was fluent overall, apart from that mistake. And the ground was incredibly testing that day. They went slowly enough and Tom Morris did make most of the running. Gravilli was able to be snuck into the race and take advantage late on. But I think if Tom Morris is able to jump as well as he did there, he will have no problem with testing ground. And I think he'll go really well. So he's probably my strongest fancy of the day, considering that Nicholls record in the race as well.
So nap time for Katie with Tom Morris. What about yourself here, Steve-O?
Yeah, Casey's gone in early, hasn't she? I think I've gone in even earlier. You'll find out later on. But I've gone later, haven't I? My nap. They just ignore me. I'm talking to myself. Yes, I was looking at Nickelback all week. I'm rather sweet on him. But Tamuras, I think I can't believe he'll be 3-1 on the day. I think he was sort of. I thought he was at sort of that price before when Nickelback was in the race. But I think it'll be a lot shorter. I think people will wake up to the fact this is a Grade One winning novice hurdler who's getting his act together now over fences. I think he sort of did give the race away though, accidentally. He hung left, which he's done before. He wears cheek pieces. I wouldn't be surprised if somewhere down the line maybe we see this horse in blinkers to get the very most out of him. But I think there's an awful lot of ability there. He's always had a little bit of a quirk or two, but that Exeter form with Crabilly and Trelawney, that ties in with Ginny's Destiny and Grey Dawning from earlier in the season. And that level of form is just on, I think, on a different plane to the others. Le Patron there, you see, is 100-30 second favourite. But, you know, he was absolutely pummeled in the Silly Isles last time, having won the Henry VIII before that. And he's got a £5 penalty. This is him winning. As I say, I think that penalty makes life tougher. And he did sort of check out quite tamely, I thought, last time. So, yeah, Tamuras, to me, the 13-day turnaround is a little bit of a niggle, albeit they didn't go a million miles an hour in that Exeter race. As Katie said, it was pre-testing, and they sort of went a married man's gallop for most of the race. I don't think he was exposed to a particularly hard race. And I'm hoping there's a bit more under his bonnet, but a little bit of a challenge for Harry Cobden. I think the horses, I don't think he'll be wanting to hit the front too early. Can hang, can be a little bit awkward in front, but I think he's got all the ability there to win the race.
Steve, they've obviously rerouted Blow Your Wad, who you fancied for a race later on the card. What do you make of his chances in this sort of race?
Yeah, I liked him later on. He was allotted a mark of 140, wasn't he, in the handicap? This is him winning on Boxing Day, where he won here off 135. I think this is a strong piece of form. He subsequently went to Cheltenham, didn't seem to really like the track. And I think back at Kempton, that will definitely suit him. But I'd have preferred him in the handicap. I think he is more of a handicapper than maybe a graded individual. Albeit there's good prize money here, and you know, good prize money for second and third. I think he'll be in the mix, but I think Tamuras is a more serious operator than him.
Okay, so Katie's nap is Tamuras, and we've also got Andy in agreement with Tamuras. Next up, in terms of races we're going to have a look at, is the 3 o'clock. That's the Dovecot, Panjari, Fasol, Fiercely Proud, Helmvine, Ivy Wood, Lump Sum, Secret Squirrel, and Willie the Builder. In terms of how they bet, plenty of support for Lump Sum, 7-4 Jolly, 4-1 Fiercely Proud, Panjari 11-2, 6-1 Secret Squirrel, Helmvine, and Ivy Wood at 10s, and 12-1 bar those. I'll come to you first on this occasion, Steve-O. Who do you like?
Oh, I feel a bit of a fraudster because I'm tipping a third successive favourite. I will say in that first race, Caliph de Burleigh to beat Captain Marvellous. I'll give you the forecast to try and give it a bit more value. But no, I think Lump Sum is a very solid favourite in this. Nice prospect for the Sam Thomas and Di Walters. Won his first two races very tidily at Fosslass and Wincanton. Then went for the Rossington Main last time. I think another day would have won. He was sat last turning into the straight, ridden with a fair degree of confidence, but the race really got away from him a little bit. They didn't go 100 miles an hour in that. He was just in the wrong place at the wrong time, did make up a lot of ground towards the finish, finished a good second on the day, had Fiercely Proud behind him. I think it'll definitely confirm that form. I think his level of form is just a little bit higher than the rest, and there should be more to come as well. Also, like Secret Squirrel, who's a smashing looking individual, but I just think Lump Sum should be able to make amends for that narrow Doncaster defeat. He's in the handicaps at Cheltenham as well. He's in the County Hurdle and the Martin Pipe, and I think he's definitely one to monitor for those. He's rated 130 at the moment. If he were to win well on Saturday, I think he'd be nudged up a few more pounds again. He'd be operating towards the lower end of the handicaps at Cheltenham. He's certainly one to keep an eye on. I think he jumps well and travels well, and that's what you need in those big handicaps.
Lump Sum then for Steve-O. What about yourself here, Katie?
I found this a tricky race because I can definitely see the case for Lump Sum. He was really good behind Jericho de Repenay, and he had plenty of ground to make up for that day as well, and had been keen early on and held up towards the back of the field. But I'm a big fan of Secret Squirrel, and I'm just going to go for him at the prices. He's a course and distance winner, and as we know, he's a lovely looking horse, really unusual. And he's only been beaten by two horses in five runs so far. And he also ran well behind Jericho de Repenay, but granted, he didn't push him as much as Fiercely Proud and Lumpson did at Doncaster. But Secret Squirrel has been a consistent horse so far. He's run well in each of his races, and he got into a good battle this day with Firefly at Taunton. There's little in it at the end, but he was just held, lost some momentum with that mistake at the last as well. But that didn't help his cause, but he's a really likeable horse, and not just on looks, but his attitude that he's shown as well. So I'm going to side with him. I think Panjari is going to be interesting too. He hasn't been the simplest a horse, not the most straightforward. But I think if he puts it all together like he did at Musselburgh and puts in a more professional performance, I think he could row really well. I think he's got plenty of ability, but I'm just going to side with Secret Squirrel at prices.
There is Panjari doing the business at Musselburgh. So Secret Squirrel then for Katie. I think Lump Sum is the absolute bet of the day. beat 1-3-5 not out on this occasion, who's gone and won since, okay in workmanlike fashion, got badly outpaced at Donny last time out, nearly got back up to chin Jericho de Repene. If you believe the hype from him and Nicky Henderson, he could be a Cheltenham Festival winner in 3 weeks' time. I think lump sum could be an absolute good thing. So he's my nap of the day. And Andy is also in agreement with lump sum. Big race coming up next is going to be the Coral Trophy straight after this. Sam Brown, Al Dancer, Il Ridotto, Tweed Skirt, Phlegmatic, Blackjack Magic, Forward Plan, Bow to Greatness, Lord Baddesley, Killer Kane, Unanswered Prayers, and Captain Orr are your 12. They're going to post for the Coral Trophy. 9-2 Fav is Phlegmatic, Forward Plan 11-2, 13-2 Lord Baddesley, same price for Tweed Skirt, Bow to Greatness at 7s, 9-1 Il Ridotto, 10s Blackjack Magic, 11s and bigger the remainder. Competitive Renault, just the 12 runners, though not the biggest field you always get for this sort of contest, won by the likes of Gloria Victus, etc. over the years. Come to you first, Steve-O, who do you like?
I like Il Ridotto, trained by Paul Nichols. I imagine most people will strike him out on the fact that he hasn't run beyond 2.5 miles. We all know him as a very, very good 2.5 mile handicapper. He's now stepping up to 3 miles. But I think if you flick back through the history of this race, it does lend itself to horses that are speedy, which aligns with Kempton being a fairly speedy track. If you go back in the last 15 years, there's been 5 winners of this race who have never previously run over 3 miles before. And another 4 of the winners in that time hadn't won over 3 miles before. So 9 winners in that time hadn't won over the 3 mile trip. I think he just fits the trend. I think his 2.5 mile handicap form is stronger than the 3 mile handicap form of the others, if you see my twisted logic with that. He's just a rock solid horse. His Cheltenham performances again this season, you know, it gets ticks in every box. He jumps really well. He's a very uncomplicated horse. Soft ground, not an issue. Harry Cobden at the top of his game. Paul Nichols' horses flying and carrying all before them. You know, there's so many ticks in the boxes of this horse. I think people will look back through his record as well and say, well, left hand, left hand, left hand, left hand. He did win twice in his younger days at Pau, which is a right-hand track in France. So I wouldn't be worried about it. He doesn't seem to shift left or right at his fences. He looks gun barrel straight to me. So if he can get in a rhythm, doesn't go, you know, too hard. I think they have ridden him fairly forward and fairly aggressively in the past over 2.5 miles. And another point to note with him, I think Paul Nichols last time felt they didn't go hard enough on the horse and when he was referred to Garlaw. And I think that's an indicator that, you know, this is the race in question here. He's in the pink colours there on the rails. Finishes third, and you think, well, he's a bit one pace in the finish here. But Paul Nichols actually afterwards observed that he didn't feel they made enough use of the horse on this day, which again hints at stamina, that they now think this horse, you know, stays well. And he's by a sire that gets a lot of speedy horses, but sometimes they outrun their sort of pedigree. I think a couple of examples of that are A. Plutard and Clandesoba, who were established as really good 2.5 mile horses, but then, you know, went up to 3 miles and did it again. Now I'm talking about Capguard. That's the sire of Il Ridotto. He's a 7-year-old now as well. He seems to have been around for an awful long while, but I'm just hoping that he can get away with the 3 miles. And if he does, then I think 9-1 is a very fair price about a horse, you know, with rock solid form. Should be noted as well, this race is worth 150 grand. It's worth more than any of the handicaps at the Cheltenham Festival. And Paul Nichols, he's just a master at looking at these prize monies and the rest of it. And he may well be spurning a Cheltenham race with this horse. It only finishes, you know, literally got 3 weeks afterwards. But the fact that he's willing to risk him here over the 3 miles rather than going to Cheltenham, where he could easily run in the plate, perhaps he still will run at Cheltenham as well. But the fact that he's willing to run here is a plus for me. I'll also find the fact they had Hitman in this race, the same connections. Now, that horse would have been £5 well in here, having run so well behind Shishkin in the Denman. They've pulled Hitman out. They rely on Il Ridotto. For me, that's another tip. It all adds up to Il Ridotto for me.
Strong selection from Steve Oville. Ridotto, what about yourself, Katie?
I can definitely see the case for Il Redotto. He's a horse that I followed a lot, especially at Cheltenham, a track that he seems to love. He's a real warrior and he's so consistent. So he's really deserving of his day in the sun, and I can see him running a big race. I think there's obvious claims for Phlegmatic, who was just beaten by Our Power in the race last year when rated £5 lower. He's up £3 for his win at the track over Chianti Classico, but he's another reliable horse. And he has to have a leading chance. He always seems to run well at Kempton too, and he's a sound jumper on a workable mark. So I think he's the most obvious candidate and probably the one to beat. I can see him going close once again. But the horse that I have decided to go for is Lord Baddesley of Chris Gordon's. Chris Gordon has been in flying form recently, and Lord Baddesley finished second to Inch House at Newbury ahead of Killer Kane earlier this season. He's up £3 for that on a mark of 1.32 now, which it could be stiff enough, but he's unexposed over this trip. And this is his first try at 3 miles. He was finishing strongly enough at Newbury to suggest that he could well improve for the step up in trip as well. So I've just gone for him as well. He's a nice each-way price. So I'd hope that he could run a solid race. I think Inch House is a solid horse, despite disappointing last time. I think he had his excuses there. So that form behind Inch House, I think, it is quite good. And I'd be keen to be with Lord Baddesley.
Lord Baddesley, then, in the Coral Trophy for Katie Fonner. Is going to have a look at it at Kempton in more detailed fashion. Is the handicap chase at 4:10, Keldestam, Warlord, Golden Sun, Grandad's Cottage, Gustavian, Heltonham, Pepe Le Moco and Champagne Mystery. Come to you first on this occasion, Katie. What do you make of this contest? Any that you particularly like, or do you think Pepe Le Moco is probably the one to beat?
Yeah, I didn't have too strong a fancy in this one. I think Pepe Le Moco is probably the one to beat. He had an easy enough victory at the track when last seen, and at Warwick early in the season too. He was slightly unfortunate, really, not to be remain unbeaten over fences. The only blemish on his chasing career so far when he came a close second to Oxygen at Plumpton. And he made a few mistakes that day too that probably cost him in the end. But he rallied to try and get on terms, and he almost got up on that day. But he's an improving horse, very progressive. And I think with that win over course and distance last time too, he has to be the one to beat here.
That's Pepe Le Moco winning at Kempton, as Katie says. But Steve, you're taking him on?
Yeah, no, Katie's right. That horse has got a very, very good chance, certainly on an upward curve. I'd take him on, though, with one at the top, Keldestan. If he runs here, he's in at Chepso is his first preference on Saturday. But that race meeting could be in trouble. It's heavy ground. There's rain and snow and all sorts going to descend on Wales in the next 48 hours. So he might have to be rerouted here. And if he is, I think he's got a good chance, Keldestan. Been something of an underachiever over fences, was a really good hurdler. But they put blinkers on him the last two runs, and he's 2 out of 2 with the headgear on. I thought it was really impressive last time at Chepstow. He was just cantered all over first flow up the straight, and Julie picked him off. He's only gone up £4 for that, and I was surprised, really, especially as first flow's come out and Frank the form. He's won again since then. So he'd certainly be one to keep in mind, especially if the ground gets really soft. And also, like Champagne, if he doesn't run, I'd be with Champagne Mystery down the bottom. This is a Tom George horse. Was with Nicky Henderson, then went to France and did his work there for 3 years. Then he resurfaced at Cheltenham last month in the race won by Garlore. He's French jockey. I think he must have mistook where the finishing post was, because he was loitering out the back for a lot of the race, and then just around the 2 mile mark, he went from ninth to third, clocked almost 37 miles an hour, I think, at one stage there, race wide as well. And the next minute, he's up there disputing the pace. And clearly, that took its toll on the horse in the closing stages. His jumping also let him down a little bit there. I think the race IQ data will tell you he lost 6-7 lengths in the race. We're not seeing that French jockey this time. We've got Jonathan Burke on board this on this occasion. And I think given a more measured ride in a weaker race as well, I think Champagne Mystery is one to definitely keep an eye on there from the bottom of the weights.
OK, that's a look at the 4:10. Steve, we're going to stay with you because you've got one extra selection for us at Kempton. Goes in the 1:15.
That's it. I'm hoping for David Maxwell's special on Joker Demai. We didn't see one of David's finer days last time. Here he is. He's in the second there. He's got that fantastic style of racing. He's a real Corinthian, David. I had the the great joy of sitting next to him at a Grand National lunch one day. And it's one of the best afternoons of my life. He's got anecdotes and tales for just about everything, and swears like a trooper as well when he's not on the television. It was great company for the day. I say he's riding, you know what you're going to get with David. He gets a lot of stick for it, but you know, listen, when you back him, you know what you're going to get and what ride is going to occur. This horse was really impressive for him at Lingfield. Then that Exeter race that we just viewed there, which didn't make for great viewing, that was just 10 days later under a penalty, and the horse was way too keen. And then unfortunately saw some daylight turning in and absolutely took off with David as well. So I think events conspired against him there. He's now had 2 months off. He clearly likes soft ground, and I think he's a horse that's tailor-made for big handicaps like this, in that there'll be plenty of cover and there'll be plenty of pace. And I think hopefully he'll just settle down a bit more. There's definitely more to come from him. He's only 5, this horse. And I think I'm hoping that David can give us one of his special celebrations at the finish. But even if he loses and it looks bad, I'll be the last person to throw stones at him.
Joking on my end, then the 1:15 for Steve-O. Final race we'll look at is the Ida up at Newcastle. The Galloping Bear, Tommy Bow, Major Dundee, Cruise Control, Christopher Wood, Sidi Ismail, Angler's Crag, Flowers of Scotland, Fenland Tiger, Gold Clermont, Rough and Lure, Easy Buck, and Prince de Fichot. And that's how they bet. 11-4 Favs, Angler's Crag. 6-1 Fenland Tiger, Christopher Wood and Tommy Bow, both 15-2 chances. 9-1 for Cruise Control, the Galloping Bear at 11-1, and bigger prices about the remainder. Katie, who do you like in the Ida?
I quite like Flower of Scotland. She's a really formidable mare on her day. She was pulled up on her most recent start, but she was slow over the first few fences and she lost plenty of ground on arrivals. She was towards the back of the field as well, so she was never really able to get into a rhythm, and it was just wasn't her day at all. I think you can put a line through that. She's seen to best effect on softer ground as well, so the more testing conditions at Newcastle will definitely help her. She showed in the Scottish Borders National at Kelso that, you know, heavy ground, really testing conditions is her bag. She's £6 higher than her last winning mark, but she did finish third ahead of the likes of Truckers Lodge and The Wolf on a £2 higher mark in the Edinburgh National last year. I think that was quite a good form line. I think she could run a big race on 1:20 with conditions to suit her. She's a proven stayer over the trip when there's a few question marks about the stamina of a few others in the field. So I think she's going to have an excellent each way chance if she just gets into that rhythm early on and leaves her last race behind her. I'd also give a mention to Major Dundee, though he also has proven form over the trip in softer conditions. And although he was pulled up at Warwick, I'd forgive him that run. It was a bit of a strange race on drying ground, and only like there was a few horses that they'd failed to get involved when they were expected to. And he's only £3 higher than when he won the Midlands Grand National last March. So I would give him a shout as well.
Okay, that's Katie's picks then in the Ida. Steve-O, quick word on the Jolly here, who's pretty skinny, 11-4, Angler's Crag. But he's on an upward curve, a couple of wins here, one including a market raise, and we've got VT for here.
Yes, no, Angler's Crag, he's definitely on an upward curve, isn't he? But I think 11-4 in a race of this nature is pretty skinny. I mean, we're looking at heavy ground, 4 miles, 1 furlong. I wouldn't want to be taking 11-4 about him. He's up in the weights. I think they were disputing whether to run him earlier in the week as well. It wasn't clear cut, but they've clearly decided to roll the dice with him again now. But I'm just hoping it's a better spectacle than one of the previous times it was on heavy ground, which was 2011, when there was only kind of free finish and it was kind of last horse standing, really. I think in that betting caption was Gold Clermont. I think she's been declared, isn't she? And I didn't see her there. I think she was about 10-1 early in the week. Forgive me if she's not entered, but I think she is, and she'd be my fancy in the race. She's a strong traveller, jumps well. I don't think she's got too many extra gears in a finish, but she might not need it. And she's won a couple of long distance chases in the mud already this season. I'm hoping that she can just float around. And oh yeah, she is there. Sorry, yeah, she's
producer there. Made an error. Let's not talk about the producer. Shambles.
it's my eagle eye spotted that. I thought I tipped a non-runner, but I'd have saved a pound that way. And the other horse I was half interested in was Cruise Control. He was about 20-1 earlier in the week, and it looks like he's halved in price. Brian Hughes is on him. he's only run over 2.5 miles. I think he's been screaming out for 3 miles cruise control, but he's now got an extra mile again on top of that. That's you've got to take a leap of faith, but I think he's the kind of horse that would definitely run well for a long while. But you know, if I was having a bet in the race, it would be Gold Clermont each way.
Okay, so that's a look at the Ida then. We'll finish with the guys' naps. So, Katie, just a reminder of your nap selection.
It's going to be Tamur Ras with the Nichols record in that race. He's going for a record 14 wins in it. And I think Tamur Ras has improved plenty for his disappointing debut at Chepstow. I was really impressed with him last time out. Hopefully he doesn't drift late on and hang to his left. But I think he's got an excellent chance if he jumps as well as he did last time and travels as well. I think he will enjoy the ground conditions as well.
Steve-O, your nap is?
Well, I've already bored you silly with enough of Il Redotto. I won't give you another 5 minutes on why he's going to win, especially when people are replay it back when he's weakening from the final fence and people are saying, what on earth was that tip for? So Il Redotto, as I say, I think 9-1 is very fair. I hope Katie's tip goes in. We haven't mentioned that she put a wrapper last week at a massive price, and he ran an absolute screamer to be second. I'm ashamed to say I was on 3 under through 5, and he was on my radar as well, wrapper. I thought he ran a terrific race for Katie, so we hadn't given her a slap on the back for that. But yes, so hopefully Il Redotto to keep the ball rolling for us.
Last week's winner's on the bottom of your screen, and I'm going to be with Lump Sum. He's in the 3 o'clock. Hopefully he can go very, very close. Thanks very much for your company. Don't forget, you can watch all the action from Kempton live on Racing TV this weekend. If you like your flat racing, we've also got coverage of the Saudi Cup. That, of course, is the highlight on Saturday over there, one of the world's most richest races. So if you want to check out that as well, plenty to enjoy on Racing TV this weekend. Thanks to Andy and Kate. Remember to check out the Racing TV website for the latest news, tips, or just watching the action. And please remember to gamble responsibly.